Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're on Sports Radio 610. Wichita State looking to stave off the upset against Marshall. They trail 80-75 with 28.9 seconds left. We will go to the coverage of that game on Westwood One.
Lead for Marshall with the timeout and under 30 seconds.
Shamet, an 82.5% free throw shooter, 5 of 5 today. Front end, spins the ball line left, it's on the way, and no good! Rebound Morris, Wichita State ball, Frankamp, way deep three up top, glass and rim miss, rebound Kelly, Shockers maintain, lob right Shamet, 21 seconds, contested three over Elmore, bad brick off glass, loose on the deck, picked up by Kelly, he has the ball squared free, end line out of bounds, last touch to Marshall, Wichita State ball 15.9.
Boy, this is just where we're going to go back to the monitor again. Goodness gracious. Oh, that's... No, he hit it out of his hands. But not good three-point looks, but still, Wichita State just crashing the boards. Marshall's got to get a block off, and all five guys got to go get it. This is game time.
Rashard Kelly had the ball in his hands underneath the cup, and it was knocked free by Rondell Watson. And it's very similar to the lengthy review we had last time around. Did the ball, after it was hit by Watson, make contact with the initial ball handler, Kelly's hand, before it went out of bounds? The call on the floor is Wichita State possession, as the pure disruption of Watson knocking it free angled it out of bounds, 15.9 seconds, 5-point game.
I think that's the same call and the same result. I think the play stands as called, but time is now of the essence because Wichita State still has to get a good look at the thing, and then they've got to, you know, they're going to have a lead. The thing is, Marshall is really slight. They're small out there. They're going to have to gang rebound this thing because they certainly, Wichita State's just going to barge. They got nothing to lose.
15.9, it is Shocker ball. Trigger to come from Shamet, far end line, front court left. Greg Marshall makes an X motion with his arms, calling out the play. Shamet, who has not made a three in seven tries on the game. They've moved the game clock to 16.6 from 15.9. He calls the break. Looking, finds Morris in the right block, shovels back, tie up, Marshall knocks it free, Thundering Herd has the ball and calls timeout. 11.6 seconds. The game's final timeout, exhausted by Marshall, up five with the ball on top of the four seed Wichita State.
So the interesting thing is that was a great timeout call.
So that's going to wrap things up, it looks like. Marshall will upset Wichita State after they get that jump ball call, the timeout. 80-75, they lead with 11.6 seconds left. I'm Paul Gallon in for Sean Pendergast, Ted Johnson, and Rich Lord at Twin Peaks off of 290 as we continue to cover March Madness with a little coverage from cut-ins from Westwood One. We'll have more of those over the course of today's show. And don't forget, the Houston Open is March 26th through April 1st. You can be there by listening to Sports Radio 610. The top PGA pros will descend on the Golf Club of Houston as they get ready for the Masters. Listen all week to the Triple Threat. In an hour, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets. And we will be at the Houston Open. You can be there, too. It's all from us, Houston sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
It looks like, you know, Marshall's got this one in the bag. Because I was home yesterday, I got a chance to watch some basketball, and it looked like there were a lot of teams that were living and dying by the three-pointer.
No doubt about it.
Today's game, Marshall taking on Wichita State, they made 9 three-pointers, almost 40% of their shots. Yesterday, Ohio State, they made 12 threes yesterday. Loyola made 8 threes yesterday. And Rhode Island had 11 threes yesterday and helped them beat Oklahoma.
Don't forget Rob Gray.
I think
he was 4 of 6.
Yeah, I think so. Alabama made 44% of their threes yesterday, and they made 8 of them. And then Duke made 43% of their threes, making 13 out of 30. So the three ball is more prevalent in college basketball than you have ever in the past.
Hey, Kelvin Sampson's Cougars, if I'm not mistaken, have four guys in the starting lineup that are respectable three-point shooters.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's a huge part of what they've been able to get done this season.
Yeah, I mean they have to. They're a little bit undersized. So
right.
I mean they fight their asses off for rebounds, but they're disadvantaged when it comes to height. So they got to make their money off of ISO plays and three-point ball.
I will say, though, I do hate college basketball players taking the amount of threes that they do. I do think that there is somewhat of a point to be made for completely out of touch with college basketball, Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith saying that these guys shoot too many threes. They do shoot too many threes. I watched it. It was like World War I basketball watching Syracuse and Arizona State in the play-in game on Wednesday night. It was awful. They were all shooting threes. No one could hit them. Clank, 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 clank.
I hear you, Paul, but it's like sometimes I get frustrated with the contested, you know, jump shot, you know, where they're trying to find, you know, they're bricking two-point mid-range shots still.
And they do play a little more physically in college basketball than in the NBA. So if you go into the paint, sometimes it does look a little – don't want to sound offensive here, but like WNBA-esque, it's just a big old mess. Everyone's clunking
around. It is a bit mess.
I do think that, like all sports, there's a trickle-down effect. And the entire sport of basketball is being inundated with three-point shooters on all levels. When you have a jump-shooting Golden State Warrior team win two of the last three championships, a historically prolific three-point shooting team in the Houston Rockets doing what they've done over the last couple of years, I think it trickles down
to all
levels of the sport, and all coaches take notice and think to themselves, maybe we should think about taking advantage. The three-point shot has never been more important than it is right now in the sport of basketball.
And I imagine if you're trying to recruit kids, they're going to want to do what these NBA players are doing these days. So if you can find a kid in high school who is good at shooting threes, or guys that are trying to become good at shooting threes, well, if you are a program that likes the high-paced kind of basketball with positionless players, then all right, well, maybe you might have a leg up on some of these other teams.
And it's still a significantly shorter shot in college basketball than it is in the NBA.
No, that is definitely true. So the Houston
Texans
have made a move.
This is my second favorite free agent signing of their offseason.
To address a position where they seriously need some help.
Yeah.
What's that, Paulie?
Cornerback Johnson Batamosi, but I'm not talking about him as a cornerback.
That's right, you're not.
The last time he played cornerback, we were wondering why he wasn't named Malcolm Butler.
Right.
We're talking about a special team standout, Johnson Batamosi, who signs the Texans on a two-year, $6.25 million contract.
I love this signing. I really do. This is an area of great need. He's one of maybe the – Paul, you mentioned that Aaron Colvin on Texans radio last night – essentially declared himself the best slot corner in the NFL. And of
which
course,
I love.
We all love that, right?
Yeah, I just love the confidence.
I will not be surprised if when Batamosi is introduced, he declares himself the best gunner in the NFL. He may or may not. But 2 years ago, the Lions made him the highest paid coverage team player in the history of the NFL. Yeah. They gave him 2 years, $6 million.
The Patriots traded for him.
Right. So this
is a six-rounder.
This is clearly depth on the back end, but more importantly, a major upgrade on special teams coverage units, and boy, do they need it.
Oh, they absolutely
do. So I went next level. I called our boy Zolak, our Texan Zolak. So Scott Zolak, if you guys don't know, is the color guy for the Patriots
radio broadcast.
Unabashed homer.
Unabashed.
And that's okay.
So I'm like, Zoe, what's up with this Batamosi? Gave me amazing analysis.
Awesome.
Played corner in the Super Bowl. Decent backup. Good special teamer. A-N. So thank you, Zoe. So basically what we all know already about him is what Zoe said. So
former undrafted free agent who's carved out a spot for himself in the league because of his special teams.
And when I was in New England, for half of my career, I had Brad Seeley as the special teams coach. Brad Seeley is now the special teams coach for the Houston Texans.
Right.
And I think he's a phenomenal special teams coach. And we always had two to three guys that were the core special team kind of guys. They brought everyone else with them kind of thing. Larry Izzo was that guy for us. So you need a flag carrier. You need somebody on special teams that cares about it and will bring other guys, and you hope Batamosi is that kind of guy.
Right, and they've been looking for someone like that for a really long time. Remember Chris Thompson, they thought might be able to be that guy, the fast kid out of Florida. Didn't end up doing it for most of the season. Nor in the preseason, he did show some signs of being very good as a gunner. So it's nice that they brought somebody in.
Yeah. They also announced the re-signing of Brian Peters.
Right,
he's also a guy who's made an impact on special teams.
I want to say this, though. Like for such a wretched special teams unit, the Houston Chronicle putting up the Texans bring back special teams ace Brian Peters.
Ace is overstating
it. Calm down a little bit with the ace part of that. But
I agree.
I'm a big fan of his game. I like him. I think he's a quality backup. I'd like to see him make more splash plays on special teams, though, before you start giving him those kind
ace.
Of, you know, those kind of titles.
I
don't think
think Batamosi's an ace.
Yes, and he
might be the number one gunner in the league.
And look, it's interesting that the Patriots let him walk. Matthew Slater has been their special teams ace for years and years and years. Like, he's been on the Pro Bowl, it feels like, every single season. And that's a guy who's getting up there in age. You would think maybe they'd be thinking about replacing him with a Johnson Batamosi. They did let him walk. Johnson Batamosi signs with the Houston Texans. So that helps out on the special teams side of things just a very little bit.
Yeah, my expectations are not sky high for the three O-linemen they've brought in. They're higher for both Colvin and Batamosi as far as impact players.
Now, you guys, I didn't have a chance to bat this round, but were we all happy with the Jonathan Joseph signing for 2 years?
I want him to be
especially
back.
Especially since the money came out, yes.
Right. I mean, he's a guy that played well at cornerback last season. Kevin Johnson isn't. Kevin Johnson was going to be back. Kareem Jackson was very good when he was blitzing, but as a cornerback, he frustrated me too.
Well, what's your take on Kevin Johnson as far as do you think what we've seen from him is what we're going to get, or do you think he can go that he still got what he did 2 years ago as a rookie still in him?
You have been the president of the Kevin Johnson fan club.
I am.
And look, there are things there that he does that I like. I like how quick he is flying up to the ball, but he forgot how to tackle last season. And
In a cover two defense that they like to play, you have to be an excellent tackler out on the open field, on the perimeter.
Do you think he makes plays on the ball? Because I don't. And that's a big problem.
He did his rookie year. He didn't back down from anything. He was up in your face, up in your grill. I saw him a lot of times pulling vet moves, which was giving too much cushion at time, letting a lot of underneath stuff happen because maybe he doesn't trust his ability to turn and run on a deep ball. So that worries me a little bit. I think it's all it is, I feel like, and I'm – if he goes out there and craps the bed again this year, then it's totally on me. I'm giving him another year to prove himself. But I think he still can be that guy he was his rookie year. His rookie year, the first eight games, him and J.J. were by far the best players on the defense. I know that was a long time ago. He's had injuries. And when he came back last year, he did not perform well. I think it's more of a crisis of confidence more than anything. Well, I think it's confidence. When he gets his confidence, then you're going to see him playing like he did his rookie year.
While we're spitballing on ways to maybe bring the old Kevin Johnson back, I remember at first he was getting flagged a lot. He was getting called for holds and things like that. Well, maybe that's something you have to say. Hey, look, it's okay if you do that, man. It's okay. You can come back to holding people. You can come back to pushing people. Because if that was your comfort zone, that works. A.J. Boye gets flagged all the time in Jacksonville.
I agree.
I mean, if that worked for him, then that's something that they should maybe go back to.
And, I'm going to reference a guy that you know that I played with. Ty Law got a lot of holding calls. A lot. But you know what? He was a physical guy. And we just kind of overlooked him because that was part of his game. We know there's going to be some holding calls here and there because of how physical he plays. I don't mind the holding calls on Kevin Johnson. But you got to, you know, whenever you're not getting your holding calls, you better be able to deliver because we're not going to overlook them very much longer.
And I don't believe they've exercised the fifth-year option yet on Kevin Johnson, but I think we all agree they pretty much have to, right, that fifth-year option.
I'm more bullish on him maybe than most. I say absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel like there's still plenty there to work with. I think he can get better. I don't think
the cap space to do
what
it.
He is.
You have the cap space to do it. Yeah. At this point, you may as well do it just because you have all the cap space and you haven't been that aggressive in free agency. Rich and I were talking about this yesterday, how we're frustrated that Nate Solder did not come to the Houston Texans. But we have some more information as to why he didn't come to the Houston Texans. We'll talk about that next. It's the Triple Threat. I'm Paul Gallant in for Sean, Ted Johnson, Rich Lord at Twin Peaks off 290 on Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.